Very much, Brother Jeff, and thank you, Faith Church, for your prayers and faithfulness to me and my family that enable us to be in the ministry for the last 20 plus years. We're really grateful, and you've been part of the ministry. And looking down here, where is Mrs. Stennett? There. I can't call her a mom because I'm not that young. But her and her husband, Steve, have been ministering to me for all these years also when he was on staff. So just an introduction to the team from Singapore, or Campus Crusade. Their leader, can you stand up, please? You don't know his name, but if you know my name, you know his name. That's Caleb from Singapore. Yeah. He's the team leader. Yeah. And maybe we'll introduce you guys later for this, just to have our time, but the one person who's going to represent them and tell us about how the message of the gospel also changed your life is Lee Sandra. So please welcome Lee Sandra.
Hey, good morning, church. How are you guys? I hope you guys are all right today. This is a beautiful morning. First of all, we'd just like to thank you for having us here. I mean, it's really a privilege to be here with you all. And as Caleb has said, we're from the Campus Crusade in Singapore. And we are actually a Christian student organization in our campuses. We're actually from different campuses in Singapore, like Ngee Ann Poly and Nanyang Polytechnic. I myself is from Nanyang Polytechnic studying nursing in my second year. And yeah, I guess like, okay, today I'm actually supposed to share to you my testimony of why I choose to do mission trips. I guess when you're young, you don't really know what you want to do for God, especially when you're older. So you kind of like stick to whatever daily routine that you're doing. But I guess when the first time that I really thought about what I want to do in my future is when I came to Singapore to study. Oh, for your information, we are from Singapore, but I'm actually a Malaysian studying in Singapore. So I've always thought about it, like, you know, how is it like that you don't know your future, how it's going to be like. So you're kind of like always depending on yourself, thinking that, oh, maybe I want to do this, maybe I want to do that. But the first time that I really talk about what I want to do for my future is when I start studying nursing, because I feel that it's something that God has given me. I'm actually from a family. My mom is a single parent, and we don't have much money to study, and I'm the youngest. So my mom don't really have the money to bring me to study. So when I went to Singapore, I'm under a scholarship. And I really feel that it was God's blessing, because in Malaysia, it's really hard for me to get a scholarship. And then I thought about it and say, God, I'm sure that the reason why you want me to study nursing in Singapore, that must be a reason. And I guess before I came to Singapore, one of my pastors in my church actually gave me this verse, Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. Lean not on your own understanding, but actually trust God and He will make your path straight. And I say, God, I'm sure that's a reason why you giving me this verse. So my life started to change. I started to get exposure when I joined Campus Crusade in my campus. And we had a staff who actually trained us up, had Bible study. And I didn't know at first that Campus Crusade do mission trips until one day my staff say, hey, you know, Lysandra, are you interested to do mission? So the first mission that I did with my Campus Crusade was in Cambodia when I was in my year one studies. I went to Cambodia to do humanitarian work. And then from there, I was thinking that, you know, because I'm a nursing student, I'm a nurse. For a nurse, it's easy for us to go to different countries to work, to minister and stuff, because people just want you, because nurses are like, you know, it's always wanted in different countries because there's lack of nursing in this world. So I find that it's actually a privilege to be a nurse because it's easy for me to travel. And when I actually went to Cambodia, I say, God, you know, because of my skills, I can actually use it in different places. So I guess that's when that I developed this desire and interest to actually do mission trip. So this is actually my second mission trip like here to Guam, and it's my first time to Guam, and I really love it because we actually meet different students from UOG and JCC, and yeah, like we share the gospel and stuff. Then because of my life, I'm from a single parent, I feel that, you know, I want to share this gospel because it's been a life changing for me. When I was younger, I don't have good lifestyle, I guess you can say that. I'm not from a really good friends group. So it's like when I came here, when I actually accepted Christ in my life, I changed a lot. So I feel that because that's something that's given to me, I want to give back to the people that don't know about Christ. And I guess that is very impactful because when I had Jesus Christ in my life, I felt that there's hope. I'm encouraged because I don't feel like I'm a failure even though I'm from this family background because I know that Jesus actually loves everyone equally. And yeah, so coming to mission here is a privilege for each of us, like from the Singapore team. We had a reason why we want to do mission. And we feel that in this world, there's a lot of people who don't know about Christ. And it's sad because, you know, a lot of people, we decide our own future. We want this and that. But we don't know that there's actually a God there who have everything planned out nicely for us. And, you know, a lot of people don't have future that they feel secure in. So I guess that when we know Jesus Christ, we know our paths. Like they say, because in the Bible, God promised that He'll make our path straight. And also because in the Bible, Jesus say, ask us to, you know, go and make disciples of all nations and baptize them in the name of the Father, Holy Spirit, and the Son. So I guess that's what we have the desire to just want to do this mission trip, to just bless others. Because I guess as students, we don't have much. And this is really one of the things that we can do to give back to God. So yeah, us from Campus Crusade, we are just really, really grateful to have this opportunity and especially being here on a Sunday morning with you guys. So we just want to say thank you again. And yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Lee Stole. Okay. Thank you, Lee Sandra, for sharing how God is encouraging you to be in the mission. This morning, I'm also very blessed that we are given the opportunity to share God's word with us, especially this text that I've chosen for us regarding future events would involve all of us and even those who are not here with us. And our text is Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. Let me read it to us. Then, I'm reading from the ESV version. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who seated on it, from his presence, earth and sky, fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Dead and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. This is the Lord's word for us. Bless his word. Bless the reading of God's word for us. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for your words that are alive, to speak to us because we did not come on earth by our own. You brought us here. I pray for myself and for my brothers and sisters, that you will speak to us through your words this morning. Thank you that you are with us through your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing our prayers. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you have been into school and you know a little bit about the anthropology studies which we took when we were in universities, and some statement that were really made about their observations of human life from our fellow anthropologists. Nothing against them. They're studying human beings. I love their studies. But this is what the observation they made about human life, which include you and me. They say, all human beings, are you a human being? Okay, you're one of them that they've observed. All human beings, you know, regardless of race or what continent you came from, it's great here, we're from two different continents of the world, even maybe three continents here in the building today. All human beings, regardless of race, continent, are born, right? As they observe human life, every one of you is born, right? Were you born before? So everybody is born, which means we have mom and dad. Eh? And then we'll be married. Oh, maybe we'll fall into love, maybe one of the observations they make. And then die. They've never seen anybody fall off a tree or pop off the ocean. Eh? All of us are born, will be married, and then we will die. Anywhere you go, that's true of life everywhere. And that's a profound observation, isn't it? And that's what life is. Yet, when we look at the Bible, it tells us beyond that. Our Hebrew chapter 9:27 says this, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Indication that you and I have only one life to live. After we die, we will face judgment. All of us. And our reading this morning is a picture of the day of judgment. That everyone will be there. There's two words there that talks about Hades, or the Greek word Hades, the Hebrew word soul, and lake of fire, which is, other translation says, El. Hades is if when he die now, and those who have died earlier, go in and wait. Wait for the day of judgment that is here. And this day of judgment will be on the throne of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:10 talks about we will all be at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll be sitting in the front of the judgment seat of Jesus. And everybody will be there. Some suggestion is that those who are written, names are written in the book of life will not be there. But everybody will be there. And all our records will be open. It says heaven and earth will flee from his presence, meaning no place to hide anymore. It's kind of a console, comfort for us also. Because whatever human being have done and escape in this life from, they will be brought back for that judgment. No escape. We think sometimes that we will escape, but no, they will be brought back. So no hiding anymore, no place to hide. At the same time, it also gives us a warning. Warning for us. This is a future event that you and I are not yet there, but was given to John to see. A warning for us human beings that one day we'll be judged, and there's only two places to go. Either hell, I mean, sometimes we use that as a bad word, but it's true. Either in that lake of fire, or your name will be found in the book of life, which is heaven, eternal life. Because those whose names are not found in the book of life are thrown into the lake of fire. And Jesus said this something about the lake of fire. It says it will not die. In Mark chapter 9. It says this lake of fire, even the worms will not die. If the worms don't die, how much the people that are thrown in there? will be eternal punishment. Now today, I'm not here to, I don't want to focus on the hell part of the passage here. I like to focus on the part of the book of life. See, this book of life is not new. It's already mentioned even by Moses. Moses said this in Exodus chapter 33, verse 33. He said, "But now, if you forgive their sins, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written." I think Moses, even long ago, have already recognized that there's a book of life that God is writing. And when Jesus was on earth, he told his disciples this. He said, Luke chapter 10 said, "Behold, I give you authority to treat on serpents and scorpions over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." So Jesus affirming that, yes, there's a book of life. The question is, how do we get our names written in that book of life? I'm sure we've heard many passages that talk about that. Jesus, I'll start with some passages that are familiar with that, with us, to us, that talks about that eternal life. Because for me, to be written in that book of life is to be given eternal life. Because only in the presence of God that life is eternal. Here, whoever you are, rich or poor, it's a temporary life. Eternal life comes from God through His Son Jesus. Here, John chapter 17, verse 3. "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." That's what Jesus said about eternal life. That you know God the Father and Jesus the Son. And this know is not just a head knowledge, I know about God of the Bible, God of the Hebrews or Israel, but it's an intimate relationship with God. That you know Him as your personal friend. That you come to church because you know Him. You come to worship Him personally as His child. And His Son Jesus, who died for our sins. And of course, our famous Bible passage, John 3:16. You could have asked somebody to memorize it for me, but "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." There it goes. When we believe in Jesus, we will not perish. Jesus, who mentioned that passage to when He was here on earth. And I think He was referring also to that perish, the lake of fire. That if you believe in Him, you'll be given eternal life and not perish in the lake of fire that He's mentioning here. And then John 5:24, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believe Him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." Oh, what a good news. When we believe in Jesus, we pass over from death into life. And then, of course, the famous passage, John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one," remember, He said that, "no one comes to the Father except through me." And Acts 4:12, "For there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." There is no other name but Jesus. And then lastly, not lastly, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. So how do we come to Jesus? By faith. Grace, that he has offered the gift of life when he come and die for us. And this is not your own doing, it's the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. So that gift of eternal life is found in Jesus. One of the most clearest passage that tell us about, that we can know about eternal life is 1 John 5:11 to 13, most of which we read earlier, and I want to read it to us again. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. See, eternal life, written, it's already been given to us. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And the life he's referring to is eternal life. See, you and me are alive. That's why you're walking. But if you receive Jesus, you've given that eternal life. And whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. And so if you do not have Jesus, you do not have eternal life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. So yes, in Jesus, God has graciously offered the gift of eternity to us, to be start now and in heaven with him forever. We will talk about that on other times, what we'll be doing there. But that gift of eternity is already given to us. Here's a question that I'd like to ask. The question is, what does it mean to have eternal life? What's the meaning of this, to have my name written in the book of life? What is that about? What it is that was given to us when we receive eternal life? John 1:12. Most of you remember John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That once you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you joined the family of God. God now is your Father. That's why Jesus said, Abba, Father, pray. Call God your Father. No one else did that before. But now in Jesus, you've joined the family of God, and you can call God Father, because you are a child of God. And then, John 11:25, about resurrection, which we will be remembering Easter. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believe in me, though he dies, yet he shall live. Everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? That eternal life is that we will not die anymore if you receive Jesus. Yes, we will die, but we'll live forever because he is the resurrection. We'll rise again with him. And of course, John 3:16, we will not perish, but we will have eternal life. And then John 14:1 says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I would go and prepare a place for you? Eternal life also for me, it means home in heaven. Room prepared for you and me in the mansion of God the Father. With his Son, we will be with him. We have a room over there. Don't worry about too much about their rooms. We have a room there in heaven. And then John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief come only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. Not only are we expecting home in heaven with Jesus, but also a meaningful life while you and I are alive on earth. Abundant life. Maybe not necessarily material thing, But our existence will be meaningful because He lives in us. And then Colossians 1:13, He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin. Not only have we redemption, the forgiveness of sins, but we are delivered from darkness into the kingdom of His Son. Man, our lives should be joyful. We have already been delivered from darkness into the kingdom of His Son. And then 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake He made Him to be sin who knew no sin. This is about Jesus. So that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. There it is. You and I, who doesn't have sin? All of us. But in Jesus, we're given the righteousness of God. He's without sin, but He went on the cross. So you and I can stand before God as righteous human beings. Not on our merits, but on what Jesus has done. You know, when I was young also, young men, I don't know about you guys, but we look gloom and sad. Because we think about our past. But in Jesus, we are forgiven. We stand righteous before God. You cannot lift up your head. Even when you sing here, you sing loud and big. Because you are righteous before God. I'll go to the last one that I want to talk about today. It's about meaning of eternal life. For me, the most meaningful one is this one. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sin, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. Yes, Christ died for us, and He rose again now. He died to what? To bring you and me back to God. In the garden, we were lost and locked out of the gate. In Jesus, we are brought back to God. For me, this is the most meaningful part of eternal life. That me, a lost human being, have been brought back to my original Creator. If you are looking for meaning, purpose, joy, satisfaction, it's found in the Father who sent His Son Jesus. When we come to Him, we found fulfillment of the things we're looking for. Because He's the one who made us. Not only will we live for Him now, but we are also expecting the day that when we come and be with Him in eternity. Because today, He has established His home with you and me. And Paul, he said, we are God's temple. Holy Spirit now live in you and me. For me, that's the greatest joy of life. That I'm brought back to God, given meaning and purpose to live this life. And to have hope beyond all hope. Because my life and your life is in God's hand when we come to His Son Jesus. If you're looking for meaning, are you unsatisfied with so many things in life? I mean, we find joy in few things like hamburger and things like that. But they gone away soon, right? The real joy is in Jesus. Give us real meaning. That last eternity. One more question before I sit down. The question is, what is the evidence that yes, I have eternal life? How will I know, yes, I have eternal life? Of all human beings walking on earth. Yes, you heard about, I believe in Jesus. Many people believe in Jesus. But what's the evidence that will say, yes, eternal life is in me or in you? I think that book, the text we read, 1 John 5:11-13, 1 John, he said, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. I write these things. The things that John was writing, a lot of those were saying, if you do this. These are the things John are writing, like, if this is true of you, then you have this. I write these things. What things? The very start with the love for God. That same writer, 1 John 4, he says, in this is love, not that that we have loved God, but he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's not us who first love God, but it is God who loved us by sending his son Jesus for us. And then at the end of that chapter, the last chapter of that book, he said, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commands. See, one of the evidences that should be obvious in our lives, if we have eternal life from God, is that our love for God will become real. I know it's demanded upon us, we feel, that what Jesus said to the question we're asking, what is the greatest commandment? Matthew 22, 37 to 39, right? Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. That is hard. Unless you know that God, he really loves you and offered the only son for you and me, then you realize that, yes, God loved me. I can love him. If we're saying, yes, I'm going to heaven, but we don't have the love of God in our hearts, that's a question that we should be wondering. Because we've given the love of God when we receive Jesus. Our response is not to pay back, but be gratitude to the love that was offered to us. First he loved us, now we can love him because he has given us his son Jesus. The other evidence will be, I'll say this, not without sin, but sinless. Sinless and walk in the light. That's what the first chapter of the book we're talking about. It says, if we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice truth. If I say, yes, I'm on my way to heaven, but sin is still the dominant part of my life, that's a big question mark. Now, please, listen to me here. Not practicing sinful activities is not what will take us to heaven. It's our faith in Jesus. But our change of life is an evidence that Jesus is in us, that we have that keep of eternal life. See, I can't be saying, yes, I'm on my way to heaven, but you look at my life and you wonder, what I mean. There had to be less sin in my life. I mean, we still sin, and that part of John, he said, if we sin, we confess. That's when we do fall into sin. We do confess our sins. And John, 1 John 3 says, no one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. That's 1 John 3, 6. If we say, yes, we have eternal life, but our lives have not changed from what it used to be to a life that is in God, we have to really ask ourselves, do I know this eternal life? And the third one is this, obey his commands. Not only the not do, but then what do I do? Also, will you obey his commands? And this we know, that we have come to know him, if we keep his commands. 1 John 2, 3. Whoever say, I know him, but does not keep his commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. So what are his commands? Love one another. Very one of the most simple ones. Love one another. Are you in fellowship with your brothers and sisters? That's one of the commands. Go and make disciples of all nations. Thank you, my brother and sister from Singapore, and taking on that command. I mean, not only everybody can go. We help others also go. That's part of the command. Yes. Go and make disciples. The world is waiting to hear the message. Last one, I'll say, is Holy Spirit in us. John, 1 John 3:24. Whoever keeps his commands abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. That's the one. So we love God, turn away from sin, obey his command, and then the Holy Spirit now abides in us. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such thing, there is no law. That the Holy Spirit will now be alive in us, empowering us to live a life, to become more and more of God, of what God wants you and me to be. It's the work of the Holy Spirit now. You and I are no longer our own. We belong to God. And His Holy Spirit now empowering us to live the life that will bring honor to Him and make life meaningful for you and me as we walk in the guidance of the Holy Spirit that now lives in us. And Romans, he said this. He said, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit confirmed in our hearts that yes, we are God's children, that we can call God Father in heaven. We can call out, because it's the work of the Holy Spirit, affirming you and me that we are God's children. These things we mention, we don't do these. Love God, turn away from sin, obey His commands, and look for the fruits of the Holy Spirit so that we will go to heaven. I said it many times already. I want to repeat it, make it clear. It's not this we are doing to take us into heaven. But we are empowered to do this as we come to know Jesus personally as our Lord and Savior. It's by faith in Him that bring us into the family of God, that keep our names written in that book of life when we come to Him. Here is a question that Paul asked the people of Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. He said, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourself, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? As a fellow human being, as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus, I ask this question to all of us. Test our hearts. Is Jesus really the Lord and Savior of my life? Have I been putting this off for a long time? Because some things in my life that I wanted to do myself. And so I put away putting Jesus into my life. Or have I been such a good person that I don't really see the need to put Jesus there? Because I have been such a good guy or good lady all my life. Especially us from the islands, eh? We come from church, eh? All our lives. You need to ask yourself, you and me, have I really put Jesus to be my Lord and Savior? That one day when all humanity stands before Him, as Revelation tells us, that we know our names are written there. And you don't have to wait. Tomorrow, today, you can do that. You can make that choice today to really say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior, that my name will be written there. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for loving us and sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins. It is this love, great love you have for us, that may enable us to call you our Father and to enjoy knowing our names are written there. I pray for everyone here that joy of knowing Jesus will be in their hearts. And those who might be wondering, Lord, you will affirm it in their hearts. Thank you, Jesus, for being with us, speaking to our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.